I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme, cut out quite unsingable. We're off and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 23rd day of January. The preparative day is get your gas mask and body armor now while you can. Relatively easy and quick to get now. Virtually impossible after the beginning of a crisis. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us this morning Steve Ben-Noon. His website, IsraeliNewsLive.org. My friend Cindy Smith. And it looks like Dave Hodges is not with us yet. And Steve is taking care of some farm chores right now. So at the moment, it's just Cindy and I. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
Cindy, I'm kind of confused when it comes to this Texas border crisis. The normal ports of entry that have been there for, well, basically more than a century, are still open for business every day, as they always have been, while the controversy seems to be the real estate between the ports of entry, where there's not supposed to be anybody crossing back and forth anyway. Why is that even an issue, Cindy? Any idea?
Well, I think it might be part of a divide and conquer strategy. Our immigration laws are not being, and our border security procedures are not being followed by the Biden administration. And it might be interesting, and there's folks that report regularly from the border to see how many people actually are crossing outside of the ports of entry. And I think that's what's got Abbott moving off the dime and trying to use the state sovereignty to control its own territory to start dealing with this issue.
Well, yesterday my friend Sam Andrews said the following, that 26 other states, which is more than half of the country, of course, are now contributing troops to go there to help Texas. And I asked Sam, I said, doesn't it sound like a bit like 1860, where state sovereignty is going up against the federal government? There's some serious matters going on here, aren't there?
Yeah, there really are. And I guess the good news in all of this, a couple of pieces of good news. One is that folks in the United States see what's happening, and they're willing to take action. I think governors and attorneys general who have weighed in on this realize that the people that they were elected to represent want border security. And the impact of this massive illegal immigration is impacting all the states. I hear people say, you know, every state's a border state now because these problems are coming to all of our communities. And the second thing to realize is, for those who look back at history, this is not the first time we've had a very polarized society in America, and America got through the 1960s, and we're still a nation, a sovereign nation, nation state, although we are under extreme attack, and we have been for a long time. We've seen dark days as Americans, and we may very well pull together and survive this as well.
Absolutely. Well, I have a thought, and I haven't really looked into this too deeply, but Supreme Court says Texas can have razor wire on the border, but the border is actually a line in the dirt. Why don't they just put the razor wire back 100 yards? It would no longer be the border, would it?
Yes, and I think I remember hearing on a podcast, and forgive me, I don't remember which one, but I think Viktor Orban in Hungary has employed a similar tactic about dealing with illegal immigration in Hungary, moving the apparatus, whatever it is, to keep illegal aliens from crossing by moving that apparatus onto the border, not at the border. So I think folks are getting smarter about how to get around some of the bad policies and the fact that the Biden administration just isn't enforcing the country's immigration laws and what has been policy for decades.
Well, the officials in Hungary take great pride and saying, holding up their thumb and forefinger and making a zero, saying, we have zero illegal aliens in Hungary. They take pride in it. In fact, I think they should, shouldn't they?
Yes, and Viktor Orban, I've done some study of him. He's not just leading that nation in terms of being a political leader. When you hear him speak, he speaks of civilizational issues, and he's more than just a political leader. He casts a vision for his people, and I think his people are securely behind him.
All right, and looks like Steve Bannon is back from his farmyard chores. Good morning again, Steve.
Good morning. Yes, the ducks and the chickens are very happy that I did not neglect them. And, of course, the dog always reminds me that I am neglecting to let them free. So, oh, gosh. You know, you guys are talking about Viktor in Hungary. And even when we were living in Prague and we had all the refugees coming up from Syria through Turkey and walking across the country, he flat out refused to allow anybody in, and hats off to him for that. And as a result, there were many Germans buying homes in Hungary in order to escape where their neighborhoods were just being totally taken over by migrants. It had really become unsafe in a lot of neighborhoods in Germany. Of course, we bordered right there with Germany. We went to Germany quite frequently, and we saw exactly that. It had become really places that were very nice neighborhoods became almost like no-go zones.
Well, the week I spent in Prague, when I was awarded the Prague Peace Prize, I got to walk across the bridge that goes to the castle up there, Prague Castle, which is the this has been several centuries ago that the Czechs stopped the illegal aliens called Vikings that were invading, and they stopped them on that bridge. So I was on the phone with my wife that night, and she says, honey, how did they stop them? I said, well, with axes and swords and bows and arrows. That's how they stopped them. So there's nothing new about Europeans dealing with the illegal invasion and aliens, is there, Steve?
There's not. And quite frankly, the one thing about Europeans is that they will take to the streets. Here in America, the only people that really take to the streets to protest are those that are being paid by George Soros and his little cronies.
Right.
But over there, the people take it serious about change because they know the only way they're going to bring change is to take to the streets when the time comes. So they make their voices heard.
Well, apparently my idea to move this raise bar back 100 yards so it's no longer on the border and in compliance with the Supreme Court order is not original. They've done that in Hungary. I wasn't aware they did it in Hungary, but I'm glad they did. And I'm sure the state of Texas can afford more razor wire and erect a barrier on Texas sovereign soil 100 yards away from the international border. Steve, what do you think? Would that be a good idea?
Well, you know, it probably would be. In fact, I had just looked this morning, seeing the situation where lady and her, I guess her child had drowned in there, and the Rangers were not being permitted to try to help assist. I realize the risk that people are taking, but, you know, really and truly, that the whole border issue needs to be addressed completely different in the first place, to where people are not wanting to just come piling over our border, especially, I mean, think about it. You already know this as well, John. You know, you got Africans coming across the southern border. I mean, I just don't really remember that being the case in Mexico, you know, that they had such a large African population. So we know that people are being flown in from around the world that they figure will assimilate into our society much easier for whatever their little agenda is down the road for us. So, I guess you got to start at the head to start with, though, if we're going to fix those problems. And that's right there what's going on in the current administration. Change that situation before you're going to get anything else changed.
Well, Cindy and Steve, these people aren't acting on their own, coming from all these various countries. There's active recruitment and advertising, recruiting men and women, mostly men, in these various countries around the world. There's a lot of expense involved. Traveling, international travel, is not cheap. And these people come from these third world countries. They're spending more money than they've ever had in their entire life. Of course, they're not spending it. It's being spent on their behalf by these NGOs. Michael Young has been doing a great job reporting the involvement of NGOs, United Nations, and the United States government itself right there at the Darien Gap. I was just watching one of his reports this morning. Cindy, I don't blame these poor third world residents for wanting a better life. Of course they're going to want a better life. That's just human nature on one hand. On the other, it violates our law, and they in fact become criminals, Cindy, when they engage in this activity, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's a lot to ask American citizens to support what's going on at the border when the people that are crossing the border are absolutely flaunting the law. And so we are a country with a history of being a law and order. And yes, we do have an immigration system. And part of the problem that we have is starting back in the 1960s, immigration law started to get amended and changed. And we ended up with things like chain migration that absolutely are not in the best interest of America and the Americans who live here. And so I believe this was a long-term strategy that was employed, and now Americans are made to feel like they are bad people and they lack a humanitarian impulse because they want to hold people accountable to following the law, whether or not they're an illegal alien breaking our law or a Department of Justice official who refuses to hold accountable the people who are responsible for implementing the policies and procedures and laws that we have on the books that are our present-day immigration system.
Well, Steve, why doesn't the governor of Texas load up these illegal aliens at Eagle, was it Eagle Pass, what they call it, take them to the nearest port of entry and discharge them across the Mexican border? Would that be a lot less expensive than taking them all the way to New York or Chicago, wouldn't it?
I totally agree. And that just makes you wonder, you know, what's the kickback in order for him to be more compliant to go in a different direction? You know, there's a lot of cooperation with political leaders on multiple fronts for what this agenda is that's going on. And as you said, there is so much resources going into doing this because they're bringing them, whether it be from the continent of Africa or the Middle East, India even included. They're flying all these people over and dropping them off. I mean, it's kind of reminds me in a way back during the 80s and 90s when there was so much drug smuggling going on. Then the government got involved in that. Then it was no longer, you know, little boats and little planes. The next thing you know, you got C-130s and things like that that are more actively involved. And of course, in those days, it was to help fund different conflicts that were going on around the world. But at the same time, so many politicians were involved and paid off in order to go along with what was happening and to get cooperation with local law enforcement. I so much was aware of, not back then, as I found out later, but that's the exact same scenario is happening now. The only difference is they're trafficking humans across the borders illegally. So you have to get a lot of people involved and a lot of money involved in order to be able to get the cooperation of different leaders to do that.
Absolutely. Let's do a segue here. Cindy, you're going to be attending a training class soon to train individuals, volunteers, our paid employees of the election process on how to hand count ballots. Tell us about that, if you would, please.
Sure. That training did take place here locally on Saturday. And I think it's important to preface what I'm about to say with the fact that the Missouri legislature in 1977 put into statute the process for hand counting ballots. And the interesting thing about the folks that are naysayers and say that we couldn't possibly go back to hand counting ballots, and there's four or five major reasons why people say that we could never do it. One would be that it's more open to fraud than using the tabulators and voting machines, which, of course, has been proven to be a false claim, more so a myth. Not a lot of evidence to support that, much more evidence to support the fact that folks that are watching, watchers, so to speak, of the hand counting process, everything is out in the open, everything is transparent and can be viewed, makes hand counting much more fraud proof than having something counted with a tabulator or a voting machine. Once you select submit on a voting machine, you have no idea what happened to your vote, and you can't retrieve it and recount it at a later time, which is a major problem with the technology. The chain of custody is broken. The voter has no hope of ever knowing whether or not their vote was counted properly or even counted at all. The other talking point against hand counting ballots is that it's very expensive. And actually, the election authorities would not be the paid people that would be hand counting the ballots. They would be the citizens that come in to work the polls every year as election judges. And so the citizens would take back control of their elections, which is the system that the founders gave us when they created our country. Putting the citizens back in charge of their own elections, of course, is a very good idea. And I think the other big myth out there is that you wouldn't get your results. It would take 2 or 3 weeks to hand count ballots. And of course, this also is a fallacy. Most polls could count the votes and have them done at the end of the day, similar to the kind of election results that we get with tabulators and voting machines. Some polling places might need to have more than one team of counters, but that is certainly doable. So this is a movement that's taking place in the state of Missouri, and I was asking the folks that presented the training about other states, and they assured me that there were groups of citizens in all 50 states that were working on this issue. So that's very good news.
Well, that was going to be my next question, and give our listeners some hope in that no matter what of the 50, which of the 50 states you're in, there's an effort in all 50 states. Some will have a better chance than others, but at least there's an effort in all 50 states to have paper ballots counted at the precinct level. Now, this would include, I would hope, one-day voting and no mail-in ballots, wouldn't it, Cindy?
Well, that would certainly add to election security. Mail-in ballots are such a security nightmare. I really can't think of any possible system that would prevent fraud. I am of the opinion that a well-run and well-designed absentee ballot process can be run with a minimum amount of fraud. But as we've seen, if you're looking at legislatures and how they have changed election law in various states, they've expanded absentee voting and removed a lot of the security items that were in the original absentee ballot laws that we've had on the books for decades. And so those legislatures that have opened that up need to be encouraged to write legislation to tighten those security protocols for absentee ballots. One of the main ones would be you absolutely have to require the election authority to match voter signature. That's one big, you know, anti-fraud proponent of a reasonable absentee ballot program.
Well, the way we do absentee ballots in Missouri is you have to go, at least in our county, you have to physically go to the courthouse and present identification. It's actually just as secure as normal voting, isn't it?
I would think it would be if you are physically present at the election authority in order to obtain an absentee ballot and providing identification, that seems to me to be a rock solid approach to getting an absentee ballot. Other states don't require in person sending in a letter where they can check your signature or applying online. There are some other things you can do to make sure that that person is really who they say they are, but certainly appearing in person to receive an absentee ballot, that is that's a very strong security protocol.
Cindy, It's primarily, as far as I know, Democrats who are opposed to voter registration, photo ID. And isn't it on the face of it racist? Here's our break. We'll break there. Store,
located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to T-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
My website is thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, I've got something that'll help you. It's called Energy Cleaner. And yes, it does have a 90-day money-back guarantee. Check out the Energy Cleaner, the mattress pads that go with it at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order right there. If you don't want to put your credit card information on the internet, I understand that. That's why I have a toll-free order line. That's 800-592-9543. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We are with my friend Cindy Smith and Steve Benoon. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. Cindy, before the break, the people against a photo ID for voter registration point out what they believe to be fact, that poor black people somehow have difficulty in modern USA getting a photo ID. Is that racist on the face of it?
I absolutely cannot understand how anybody can say that with a straight face in modern day America. But this is unfortunately where we are, where these narratives and memes are injected in our conversations through social media, television, movies, etc., news reports. And so instead of talking about the importance of election security, we're talking about who's a racist and who's not.
Right, absolutely. Well, Steve, you've traveled the world, and both third world and the first world countries. Can you think of any place, any country, Steve, where people could vote and not have to present proper identification?
No, there's not any place that's like that. Doesn't matter how third world they are, they still have to be able to prove who they are, some form of identification, regardless. You don't pull that off easily.
And in addition, I know some countries, I think the Philippines may be one, I'm not positive, but they put their thumb on an ink pad that has a type of ink that can't be washed off for at least 24 hours, don't they?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And so, you know, yeah, fingerprinting, that's a good way of doing it as well. But
Actually, it's just a way to make sure they only vote one time.
Oh, okay, I got you. So
right.
Maybe that's what we should have done here. I guess it wouldn't work with mail-in ballots, though, would it?
Well, it's pretty funny when I saw the evidence of stacks and stacks of mail-in ballots that had never been folded to be put in an envelope, Cindy. I mean, how much more blatant can they be? They wanted to commit fraud, but they didn't even take the time to fold the alleged mail-in ballots, Cindy.
Well, absolutely. And there's a gentleman who's presented to election integrity groups on multiple occasions, and I apologize, I can't think of his name, but he created a technology that will allow you to examine a ballot and see if it had ever been folded and placed in an envelope. That's one of the new high-tech tools that we have to help improve election integrity. Of course, getting secretaries of state and election authorities to actually purchase such technology and use it, that's going to be the political fight.
Wait a minute. I mean, I think the average bright 8-year-old could tell the difference between a flat piece of unfolded paper and a piece of paper then folded over and put in an envelope. Why is that? Why is some high-tech machine necessary for that, my dear?
Well, not because individuals can't use their own eyes to look at it, but it would create a paper trail and evidence that that's what was going on. I think that's what the idea is behind that.
Okay. Well, it baffles me why that would be necessary. But if it is, it is. If it works, it works. That's okay. There's hope. We have a republic to save here, ladies and gentlemen. And let's all do what we can to save this republic, avoid the disaster that's coming. Well, going back to our earlier discussion about the illegal aliens, when I first heard the term invasion being used, I thought, well, this can't be right. They're not using the word properly. But then the more I looked at it, the more evidence I saw. Steve, the word invasion, it's a proper use of the word when the term invasion is used to describe these illegal aliens coming in by the hundreds of thousands, isn't it, Steve?
Yes, it is.
So, I don't know. I know my little community here is not being affected. Obviously, Davisville, Missouri, or most of Crawford County. The nearest place I'm aware of where there's an issue with illegal aliens is on the county line between Crawford and Franklin County. That would be Sullivan, Missouri. And I've heard the reports, Cindy. I know you've heard the reports also about the illegal aliens in Sullivan, haven't you?
Yes, I've heard the reports from people that have actually seen them, and also talking to people who've witnessed buses rolling up into a certain area of Sullivan, and many individuals, military age men, getting off the bus and disappearing into buildings in the area. This information has not been directly vetted by me, but it's being reported to me by people in the community who clearly have no reason to lie and make up something about such a thing. So this is happening in our communities, even though Missouri is in the middle of the country. These illegal aliens are finding their ways into our communities, and the same juggernaut that brings them across our shores is transplanting them into the center of the country.
Absolutely. Here's the next break. We're right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information, from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Republic Broadcasting is in the middle of a cash crunch. We really need some funds. If you like what you hear, please consider making a donation at the RBN website. There's a telephone number you can call there to make a donation by telephone, an address to mail a check or money order. And, of course, you can make a quick PayPal donation as well at the Republic Broadcasting website. All right, my website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there, over 9 gigabytes information, including more than 230 articles and videos concerning the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, he's now saying that all of the COVID-19 vaccinations are meant to kill and hurt. They are not side effects. They're the direct intended effects. That's what he's saying. Get more education there at thelibertyman.com. And, of course, products that will help you achieve your goals, including the energy cleaner. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, check out the energy cleaner. You'll be very glad you did at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Steve Ben-Noon. His website is israelinewslive.org. and my friend Cindy Smith. We're talking about the events today. And let's continue our conversation. Where do we leave off there, Steve?
That's a good question. I need another patch.
Okay. Cindy, you probably remember what exactly where we were during the break.
We were talking about election and integrity related issues, but I'm wondering if maybe we should pivot to what's going on in Israel, because Steve is not going to be able to be with us the second hour.
That's right.
And I'm wondering, Steve and John, if you've been paying attention to the analysis of Alistair Crook. He's a regular guest on the Judge Napolitano show called Judging Freedom, and he's also got a published article covering a topic. His analysis is that the moves that the Netanyahu government is making is to try and keep the Zionist project alive, and they're going to try to keep this two legal systems in place and just kind of disregard the borders of Israel in an effort to keep the project going. And I'm wondering what you all think about that.
Okay. Steve, you got more personal experience with this than I do. Go ahead, please.
Well, the situation going on over in Israel, and we're talking about the northern border, correct? I've got so many things hitting me at one time here. So,
yeah, there seems to be a lot of action at the northern border recently.
Yeah, Israel is wanting Hezbollah to move back from that border, and of course Hezbollah is not going to do it. This is kind of goes back to the way it was when Israel actually controlled that side of the border for a number of years, and then through a peace agreement they ended up giving up that land and pulling out, and then of course Hezbollah of course moves in, and so it's going to be tit for tat. It's not going to stop. And quite frankly, everything that I am aware of that's going on over there from both our side and Israeli intelligence side, there to some extent, they're going to keep agitating the situation until they get this war with Iran. And Hezbollah plays into that because Iran does back Hezbollah with weapons, et cetera. So, it's not that Israel necessarily wants a direct conflict with Hezbollah on the northern border right now because they're really bogged down with Gaza. But the ultimate goal is to be able to get the United States to back them with a war with Iran. And so therefore, if you got enough agitation going on, and of course, it's definitely both sides agitating. But someone's going to make an excuse for doing that, and then you're going to get the war with Iran that they've been trying to get for a number of years to get us to commit to that. I think that's going to really bog us down in a very bad situation because we got China, Taiwan, Indonesia, the Philippines. We're dealing with Ukraine, Russia. The last thing we really need right now is to get tied down into a Middle East war and then end up, because that's when China is going to go after Taiwan for sure, is once we're bogged down to where we can't really do anything about anything.
All right. Well, Steve, we got the two different, the main two groups of the Islam fighting each other already. We have the Sunnis and the Shiites, and they're exchanging missiles and artillery right now. Iran attacking Pakistan and Syria. This adds another whole dynamic to the everything going on there, doesn't it?
It does, and it's only going to get to really increase. And then, of course, when you're dealing with Pakistan, you're dealing with another nuclear-powered country. And people always say, well, they're trying to keep, like Israel says, we're trying to keep Iran from getting nuclear weapons. Iran has nuclear weapons. It's just right. It's kind of like Israel. It's just not acknowledged. So for Pakistan to start lobbing missiles over at Iran, that's only going to incite the situation worse. And then, of course, you got India right there in the middle of all this. And Pakistan and India do not have that great of a relationship either. I mean, we truly, people keep talking about World War III, John. We could truly see a World War III scenario really heat up very quickly with so many players involved, especially now that Pakistan is poking and prodding over at Iran as well.
Well, see, would it be a fair statement that every large American city has both mosques of Shiites and mosques of Sunnis within those cities? That looks like a prescription for a major problem to me. How about you?
You know, that's a very good point that I had not even considered myself, because, you know, Sunni and Shia can't stand each other, and to the point they're willing to go to bloodshed. And then you put that here in the United States, along with a lot of other powder keg situations here, wouldn't take long for them to create a civil unrest in this country. And that may be, John, that may be one of the reasons is why they've been bringing across the southern border more and more Muslims, because it may be to strengthen the Sunni side of things here in order to incite the Shia. So that's something I had not even considered.
Well, not far from where Sunni and I live is a college town, Rolla, Missouri. I know they have two mosques. I don't know if one represents a Sunni and one represents a Shia, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. How about you, Steve?
That's very true, and that's going to I'm going to definitely be looking into that, because you're right. That could definitely be a powder keg. I mean, just for those that may not remember, I mean, think about Saudi Arabia. Every time they get irritated and they start beheading folks there, you know, and then of course it tends to be Shias. I mean, they'll behead their own as well. It's not that they don't, but as soon as they begin to behead the Shias, which are the Iranian version of the Islam, that just sends Iran into a tailspin. You know, you're just targeting our people. You're intentionally and nearly causing them to go to war with one another. So, you know, that could make for a very, very volatile situation here in the United States.
Absolutely. I don't know how they do it, but all Muslims are compelled to make one trip in their life to Mecca, which, of course, is in Saudi Arabia, which includes the opposition Muslims. And how do they handle that there, where all these people that hate each other are supposed to get together and walk around this big black rock?
Well, you know, you're right, exactly. And then on top of it, because of the stone that is in the corner of the mosque, it's a black form of black goo, which I have heard from scientists that understand this material very well. They said it creates such an enormous animosity and anger within a human being, is something about the way, the frequency that it emits. And in fact, the one scientist that shared that with me was Harold Calsvilla. And he actually said that when the war ended in World War II in Germany, one of the things that they found in a lot of the SS offices were that very same type of stone, that black goo stone. And he said that they discovered, working in the lab, very, very demonic type of force comes from that rock.
Is the rock something, a meteor from outer space? Do we know where it came from?
That's what they say the one is at Mecca, that it is a rock that comes from outer space there. And that's what Harold has always said about it as well. He said it's like a living organism. He said they've actually experimented with it in the lab. He said it's very, very strange type of a form. He said, but they do know it's almost like a life form of its own.
That sounds like science fiction pretty much, doesn't it?
It does.
Amazing, amazing. Well, you know, going back to our neighborhood, you know, Rolla, Missouri is a college town in rural Missouri, and we got Muslims there. Columbia, Missouri is another college town. I know there's at least one mosque up there. Typically, most people would think of mosques being in the bigger cities around the country, but they could be anywhere, couldn't they, Steve?
Yes, they could. And You know, they're you know, just looking at some of the statistics, there's 154 million Shia Muslims. And in America, there is 4.6 million, I think, overall for the whole for Shia Muslims here in the United States. And of course, you got to remember, they only make up about 10% of the Muslim population. So if you've got that many, 4.6 million Muslims, and well, I take it back. Okay, so there's 4.6 million Muslims living in the United States, and out of that, 300,000 of those are Shias here in the United States that are Shiites. So there's still very significant size here of the population in America. So like you said, too, though, there is no doubt there are mosques everywhere, especially the major cities I would take in that case.
There's a mosque in St. Louis County that I've talked to men involved with surveillance of that mosque, where healthy young adult males go in there early afternoon. They come out two, 3 hours later, all beat up and bloody. It sounds like they're doing full force martial arts training, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, and I wouldn't doubt that. And I know that the Iranians have some of the best martial art training there is in the world. I actually knew one American-Iranian who taught martial arts, a form, a unique style of his own that he had created. Very, very successful in what he did. Of course, I don't know if he is pro-Shia or not, but there were many law enforcement people trained with him that you know, really made a huge difference in that training. And I've done martial arts in my life. I've done several different styles, so I am accustomed of knowing. In fact, I actually learned part of that style there from a friend of mine that was a teacher of his. And it was very, very unique compared to other martial art styles.
There we go. Panel, we got a caller and holder. We got John in Michigan. Good morning, John.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I was just going to bring some information to that Black Stone story that you were referring to. I've heard that it's tied to Saturn, and that Saturn is the planet that all of this energy comes from. And then I was just going to ask you also, are you familiar with a man named Gulen, G-U-L-E-N? I think he's in Pennsylvania. He runs a camp for Muslim terrorists, and also build schools and mosques around the country, and is allowed to do this with our government's blessing. He takes prisoners from that are left, or you know, ex-convicts that are let out of prison, and trains them. Are you familiar with his operation that's been going on in this country for years?
I'm not familiar with his, but it's interesting that you noted that the stone that is believed that it come from Saturn, because through intel connections over the years, one of the things that I had heard was that Saturn is a base used by reptilian entities. So I know that's crazy to even say it, right? But that's something I've heard, believe it or not. But no, the other guy I've not heard of.
Well, look up G-U-L-E-N, and you'll see that this guy has a compound, and I believe it's either in upstate New York or in Pennsylvania, and that he recruits, and he also has schools throughout the country, and he's banned from Turkey, I believe. I think that's the country that he's exposed himself with. But just check out his history, and you'll see that we're surrounded by so many different entities that are really anti-American, and that they're allowed to do it. The FBI knows all about it. The CIA does. They all know that this guy's in operation in our country.
Amazing. Amazing.
His name again?
Hello?
Okay. Anything else, John?
No, I'm just pleased to have you folks discuss all of this. It's great. John Stadtmiller was a good friend of mine, and I'm glad that you're on his network. He'd be happy about it.
Well, John was a great friend of mine as well. Thank you for the call, John. We appreciate it.
Yep,
the call number is 512-248-8252. We've got our last break coming up. Steve has to scoot off at the top of the hour, deal with some frozen pipes of all things. And Cindy and I will continue after the top of the hour. Steve, what's the most important thing on your radar you want to mention this morning? Sorry, we got a break coming up.
Boy, howdy. I'm going to think about that one just for a moment while we have the break. That way I can really give a good one as we come back off that break here in a second.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's a loaded question, believe it or not.
Okay. Well, it wasn't meant to be, but that's okay. Cindy, these presidential election years are always the most active when it comes to people being involved in anything with politics, aren't they?
Yeah, having been involved in presidential politics since about 2007, 2008, what I've seen over the course of several election cycles is there are people that are very engaged and animated in politics during the presidential election cycle, and then they sort of wander back off into the other things that they have going on in their life, whether that be involvement in community events or church or whatever they do.
My name is John.
And
Black Hawk Coffee.
And we have a break. We have our last break. Back in a moment.
I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Steve, you've had a couple of moments to think about what's the most important thing on your agenda that you'd like to inform us of. What have you come up with, sir?
Well, I'm going to go into a couple of different things going on here. And one, I'll be having a doctor on before too long doing a special broadcast that is he's actually even participating in LifeWave as well. And we were discussing some of the very serious things that are taking place that are troubling, such as hydrogel antennas, things like that. And I think is important is that people really become more aware of those type things that are going on. And this kind of even goes back to the vaccination, things like that, that a lot of people are not, as you bring out a lot, John, you bring about the seriousness of that. Those people that have been vaccinated, basically it never did them any good. They end up developing all kinds of problems. And I'll say this, even though this has nothing, I'm not saying this is a promotion like an infomercial thing, but X39, they're not talking about it yet, but I do know that there have been individuals that we know of have actually had neurological issues that have had major improvements after using that patch there. So when I say that we're only beginning to deal with what's happened to the vaccinated already, but we're also looking at more issues coming up along that line. And then on top of it, kind of like the situation down in Miami, where these people reported that they were seeing these entities, these creatures, and you know, everybody thinking it's an alien invasion, but in reality, it is something that you're going to see more, possibly very more often. It's a merging of dimensions. Now, that's actually in ancient documents that I have studied, that's what happens in the end of days, that we would literally see the documents that I've read talk about a collapse of dimensions, which literally causes you to see entities in other realms that are not in our realm, and vice versa, they can see you. So I would really just encourage people, you know, not be fearful. That's one thing. I think that's the big key. Don't be fearful, but be prepared.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. Chapter hour break. We'll be back with Cindy. Stay tuned.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.